We are joined now on the phone by Tom Stevens, the mayor of Hillsboro, where there is a lot going on as always. Mayor, how are you?
I am doing well. Happening in Hillsboro, as always.
And before we start talking about issues, again, a reminder that early voting begins on Thursday. Election day is November 3rd. Voting period, though, is only 3 days away, and you're running unopposed for mayor, but there's a big race in Hillsboro for town board.
Indeed, Aaron. I'm running unopposed. There are five candidates for three open seats, and two incumbents are running, and then three other folks. And so we know we will have at least one new person. Candidates are very different. I really encourage people to go to the website and find opportunities to get to know how the candidates are different. And, you know, it's important to vote. It really makes a difference when you're voting for your local. Probably local elections have more impact on you, direct impact, than probably any other election you could participate in. So we're encouraging people to get out there. If you're a citizen of Hillsboro, please vote.
Absolutely. And it's not just the fact that the local elections have a more direct impact on you. It's also that your vote counts a little bit more. When you've got just a few thousand people in Hillsboro, turnout's always very, very light. So your vote really has an impact in a local election in a way that it may not necessarily on a state level or a national level.
Indeed. Yes, it really makes a difference.
And there are a lot of big issues. Again, very much as we've talked about with respect to Chapel Hill, growth and development are very, very big issues. Absolutely the case also in Hillsboro. The town is growing, increasing population. There's big developments currently in the process of being built. There's a few more on the way and a couple of other big issues as well, including, and I know we talked about this last week, or you talked about it last week with Blake Hodge, and then again, I think with Elizabeth Friend later on in the week, but the status of the Colonial Inn. And for people who aren't up to speed on this, what's the latest there?
Well, and of course, the Colonial Inn is a building. It's one of the few places, one of like 12 in the state, of having statewide historic significance. It was built in 1838, and it has, when it came under its current owner, it's been out of operation since 2001, under current owner since 2002, and deteriorating. And the town has ordinances that prevent buildings being demolished simply through neglect, and so we've requested with the owner to try to get some repairs made, and those have not been forthcoming as necessary. In fact, it got so bad that the owner was living in the building, and the building was condemned as unfit for human habitation, and so the owner could not live there. And more recently, because of burning some materials in the fireplaces, in fact, the fire marshal had to order the building evacuated, that nobody could be in the building at all unless they were a contractor and working on the building. So last week, the board finally decided this is not only a cultural asset that needs to be saved with some longstanding preservation issues, but to go ahead and proceed with eminent domain to acquire the building. And what the resolution that the board passed allows, essentially sends a letter of intent to the owners. That gives the town 30 days from the receipt of that letter to file for eminent domain. If we were to file, certainly have to provide just compensation. And so if we go to court, that would also include having a check with an independent, based on an independent appraisal, to say this is what the fair compensation would be for the inn.
Who appraises the property?
Well, that is a very good question. We are working with Preservation North Carolina to identify people who specialize in these kind of historic properties. Of course, the Development Finance Initiative from the UNC School of Government made a study of the inn, and they looked at valuation and what they expected the acquisition costs would be, and they said it was anywhere from zero to about $140,000, essentially the value of the land. And so this is where the it really is somewhat of a sticky wicket for the property. At one sense, the economic value as it stands is pretty low, and most buildings would simply be torn down. However, because of statewide significance, that really is not an option. And so you could say the value is the land minus the teardown costs, and that's what DFI suggested. You know, there might be other means of raising it, but the economic value now is pretty low. The actual cost of the building is very small compared to what the cost of the renovations would be, which is probably estimated to be at least about $3 million.
And obviously eminent domain is a big step and usually controversial in any circumstance. So what feedback have you gotten from the town, from residents about
this?
Well,
absolutely not to be taken lightly. It was very, very thoughtful about the board. You know, we've been dealing with this for, you know, more than a dozen years. And I think what finally got the board to take this move is that there was an imminent public safety hazard. You know, we wanted to do. We tried to work with the owners. The power to do eminent domain for preservation purposes was triggered last year when the owner applied to demolish the building. We could have sort of jumped right in and said, no, we want to do that. What we did was try to work with the owners. We funded the study and try to get information to them and to any other interested parties so some private solutions could be developed. And that study said basically a private-public partnership would be something that would work. As we've actually seen the building deteriorate, and we've seen this is a real fire hazard, not only for that building, for people who are nearby, but other neighbors and houses, and it is just too much of a public safety hazard, and so we felt like we need to absolutely move very quickly, and it is worth saving. The building can be restored, so that seemed like the best course of action. Certainly it's something that we do not take lightly. The response has been, I would say, certainly mixed for any number of reasons. We'd expect a very mixed response. But I would say there's been a lot of positive response to it. I think a lot of folks just glad to see something happening. And it's been way more positive than negative is from most of the folks that we've been in contact with. There's even an editorial in today's News and Observer saying it was the right thing to do. It's amazing when it gets that level of attention. One of the major papers in North Carolina says, this is important, and not just happening in a small town, but this is important for North Carolina.
Speaking with Hillsborough Mayor Tom Stevens, again, that's only one of many big things happening in Hillsborough. Again, early voting beginning on Thursday, Election Day, November 3rd. There's a lot of development going on in Hillsborough, a lot of things in the works, either right now or down the road. I know the public hearing is ongoing regarding Collins Ridge, and the latest on the train station is the town just put out a call for proposals for conceptual design, too, so that's moving as well.
Sure. College Ridge will be, I think it's on November 19th, whatever that Thursday is. They'll be continued till that time. Certainly that will be a very big development in Hillsborough that will be adjacent to the train station. That's on the five-year plan of funding for DOT, including the road that would connect to 70. So we want to make sure that we're keeping up with it and we have a conceptual design. Yeah, and when it's thinking about growth, one way to think about this is really, it's anxiety-producing for anybody who lives in Hillsborough, and everybody's looking at this huge growth. But one thing to keep in perspective is that in many ways Hillsborough has been and will continue to be the slowest growing town in the Triangle. That if we're looking at where we've been for the last 30 years and where we're expected to be in the next 30 years, we've sort of doubled in size from 3,000 to 6,000 in a little over 30 years. We're expected to maybe double in size again, going from 6,000, 6,500 to about 12,000, maybe a little bit more than that. We'll see it in big spurts because of some of the larger developments, but in many ways we're a very, very slow-growing place compared to Mebane and Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Durham. It's not going to be like Cary that went from 7,000 people to 135 over that same time. So, these are big developments. They're very, very important for Hillsborough, but we do recognize that we want to keep that small town charm. We want to keep be a small town, even if we're going from a 6,000 person small town to a 12,000 person small town over the course of a few decades.
It's the exponential growth that I think causes so much of the anxiety. When you're 3,000 people and you double your population in 30 years, you're adding 3,000. When you're 6,000 and the same thing happens, you're adding twice as many. So.
Yeah, another 6,000 people. So that's, yeah, so it is non-trivial, and it is very, very important to the character of our town. We've, over the last decade, laid the groundwork very nicely about setting where our service boundaries are, having our land use plans and our strategic plan about where we would like to see growth. It will certainly impact traffic, and already traffic is a real pain, let me tell you. So it is. You know, we can see it, and as we grow, it will, you know, it's hard to say that it's not going to get worse. It could get really, really worse and just sort of almost to the point of shutting down if we're not careful about it, but there are things that we can do to mitigate a lot of the parts of growth. It's just about being really smart and really careful. I believe, just given the growth that's going to be happening in North Carolina, and particularly the Triangle, it's not like we can just say, well, stop, you know, we can't do any more. That there's a natural limit to what we can do, which is probably, you know, a little over 12,000 people, and based on our roads and water supply. So we have a natural break to stay a small town, unlike Cary and unlike what Pittsburgh is facing with their Chatham Park development, which was adding 60,000 people, going from 4,000 to 60,000, even in the course of 30 years, is pretty significant. That's unlikely to see happen in Hillsborough.
I was actually just going to ask about that, and I'm glad you mentioned that. So 12,000 is the sort of unofficial upper boundary?
Yes. When the Chapel Hill Chamber, based on the U.S. Census projections, we're looking at growth to 2050 at around a little over 12,000 people.
Right.
We're expecting in the Orange County part of Mebane to be like 40,000 people.
I saw that. That was... I can't even imagine that, but yeah.
Yeah, Chapel Hill will be, you know, more than doubling. Carrboro will be doubling. If when I saw that chart that was saying here's what the growth curves look like, you see Hillsborough is the lowest, and of course Orange County is the slowest growing county, pretty much in the triangle as well. So, it is a tremendous amount of growth. So I don't want to dismiss it as something that's not of concern. But putting in perspective, there's going to be some really, real intense growth in the triangle. And in one sense, the fact is that we're going to be growing slow, even though it'll be these sort of fast spurts. It seems to me I can wrap my arms around how do we keep a small town of 12,000 people is a really different thing than what happens to the character of the town if you go suddenly to 100,000, 50,000, or 100,000. Then you start getting to a whole different scale of things.
Absolutely. Well, Hillsborough Mayor Tom Stevens, again, Election Day is just a couple of weeks away. Early voting begins on Thursday, so a lot for Hillsborough residents to think about. I have to let you go in a minute, but before we do, a quick plug for upcoming events in Hillsborough.
Sure. Tickets are almost gone for the Spirits of Hillsborough, which is the tour pre-Halloween this Saturday. Spirits of Hillsborough is a haunted walking tour. There's a great band that's happening. The Arts Council is sponsoring the Music Master Series at the Ken Knox and Company. He used to be a member of the chairman of the board. Great Beach Music. It's going to be at the Whitted Building Saturday night. You can find that at all those things on the web at visithillsboroughnc.com or at the Arts Council website. And so those are upcoming. It'll be another fun weekend in Hillsborough.
As always. All right. Well, we'll catch up with you soon. Hillsborough Mayor Tom Stevens, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.